that you, what was your all-time favorite match at WrestleMania?
At WrestleMania itself, I thought the most entertaining match of the night was actually the SmackDown Tag Team Championship, the Fatal 4-Way. I enjoyed that match a lot. I thought all four teams got high spots in there. I thought it was very entertaining, great storytelling. I thoroughly enjoyed that match, and I enjoyed it a lot. I was really happy to see the Usos retain, but I would have been just as happy as any of those teams to win. I had no dog in the fight, as they say. I was just enjoying it.
I enjoyed it myself. I was glad the Usos got it back, and it was a back and forth tag team match. It was real good. I enjoyed that kind of a tag team, but tag team wrestling, like you said, the superstar Bill Dundee has gone by the wayside. Nobody really does tag team wrestling hardly anymore. They don't. It's not a big thing in professional wrestling in some organizations.
In some organizations, and that includes the WWE, because on SmackDown, it was the Usos taking on the Hardy Boys, and the Hardys are now the 8-time WWE Tag Team Champions.
That only means one thing. The Usos are going to Raw during the shakeup.
That brings up a point. Monday Night Raw and SmackDown, it was too much about what's coming up next week and not what happened at WrestleMania. Everything, lots of run-ins, lots of people from SmackDown coming in to interrupt, people from Raw, including the Kofi Kingston and Seth Rollins match against The Bar. And then on SmackDown, you get the same thing happening. I thought that was just a little bit oversell for the Superstar Shakeup, which is coming up on Monday.
Yes, I always
enjoy the Shakeup. I would have just loved to have seen them say, hey, next week it's the Superstar Shakeup, instead of trying to promote that things are going to change a lot. And they showed that with Drew McIntyre on SmackDown. They were almost tipping their hand, I think.
Oh, they already tipped their hand Monday night and Tuesday night. I mean, with the Usos losing the tag team titles, that tells me that they're going to Raw. With Braun Strowman coming into SmackDown for Samoa Joe, that tells me he's coming to SmackDown. I mean, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But why do this on Monday Night Raw? Why have Kofi Kingston come out against Seth Rollins and say, title for title, and then you jerk the chains of the fans, and then you bring out the Bar, and then you have a tag match? Then why did you do that to the fans? Why would you do that? All or nothing, take it all of it, and then you decide, no, let's do a tag match. Really? Seriously?
Really?
Yes, really? Really? It's like The Miz. Really?
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 Really? I got to agree with you on that point. So I wanted to talk to you especially because you were so animate about the Kurt Angle retirement match against Baron Corbin. And I know you weren't real happy with what happened there. Let's talk about Kurt Angle and Baron Corbin.
Well, it's real simple. I mean, you bring back Kurt Angle from TNA, you build him up, and now his body is breaking down. He's not in the best of shape. We all could see this. He's got this knot on the side of his neck that looks like another human head is starting to form. But you build up this match, and we all think that he's going to win. And as soon as he went into that moonsault spot, I saw it. I went, he's going to miss. And then 1, 2, 3, and this is how you remember Kurt Angle. His last match is a loss. Are you serious? Who is smoking the opium? Get off of it. This is not supposed to be a WrestleMania moment for him. He's supposed to be like he won the title again and a booger was in his nose when he started crying. Come on, let him have that moment. And you do this? Okay, Vince, it's time for you to retire, please.
Oh, speaking of Vince retirement, we'll get back into this just a little bit, but I read today, just a few minutes ago, on an app that I have called Wrestle News, that Triple H says that Vince will never get out of the creative process for the WWE, that he will be part of it until his mind is completely gone.
Well, then he needs to get out now.
Okay, let me take you back to the previous podcast, okay? The one we did right before WrestleMania.
Uh-huh.
I said, will they use the match as an opportunity to put Baron Corbin over? And I think it was more of an opportunity to put Baron over.
Yeah.
And if you look at what happened on Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania, that was more of Kurt Angle's moment. Because he got to put the ankle lock on Baron Corbin, and then he got destroyed by the returning Lars Sullivan.
That needs a blanket and a pacifier because he's so scared of other people.
Well, he has social anxiety. Come on.
Yeah.
Would you mess with the man?
Well, I mean, if I knew if he had social anxiety and I had to take him on, you know what I would do? I'd have about 50 other people behind me and go, guess what? Ha, ha, ha.
Point your fingers at him and go, la, na, 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 na.
Yeah, okay. This guy right here, Lars is a big guy. He's supposed to be this new bread of Goldberg or whatever. But, yeah, I hope he does well. But the way that they did Angle that night, okay, that's fine. You're pissing, excuse my language, you're pissing on a legacy and a career that a lot of people can't say that they've had. I mean, an Olympic gold medalist with a broken freaking neck, all the TNA titles, all the WWE titles, all the scandals and everything that this man has been through. Okay, let's just piss on his career while we're at it. But that's nor here nor there, and I don't pay the bills.
Now, okay.
Congratulations.
Okay. Now,
yes,
I'm just going to throw this out there.
Go ahead.
Because Kurt is not finished. He might not be in the ring, but he's still working with the WWE. He just re-signed a contract. So maybe he'll go on commentary for a while. And there, I mean, nobody ever really retires in professional wrestling. I mean, look at Ric Flair. You know, he had that retirement match against Shawn Michaels. It's kind of like reading comic books, and a character dies, Superman dies, Batman dies, Spider-Man dies. They all come back at one time or another. So I wouldn't say this is the last we've seen Kurt Angle in the ring. It might be very spotty. He might just be, you know, helping out. If Jason Jordan ever comes back, be his manager. Who knows what could happen? But Kurt still is employed, and he is part of the WWE. And I think that's part of the reason why it happened the way it did happen.
I don't know whether he's done with his rehab, if he's already finished with it, but I've heard throughout the grapevine that, I mean, he's still, you know, addicted to some painkillers, which I can understand. I mean, look at all the abuse that man's gone through. I would have to take, Vidocaine in a Pez dispenser as much as he's done.
Uh-huh.
Morphine in a Pez dispenser, please. I mean, good Lord. But that's nor here nor there with that. That match was okay. I just didn't like the ending of it. And
you
sorry,
and a lot I'm, of people.
It just didn't do nothing for me. I just could not stand the way they did this man's career. And I mean, I wasn't an Angle fan, but I was hoping they would give him this moment. But like I said, I don't pay the bills and I don't make the T-shirts. So, well.
But we do buy the T-shirts occasionally. So I'm going to ask you a question. Was there a match that surprised you?
Oh, the women's title match surprised me of the way the outcome was.
Okay, there's a lot of people saying it was botched. What do you think?
The ending was botched. You can tell that when Ronda Rousey was being covered, her shoulder was up off the air when the three count was done. After she got up, she was confused and mad at the same time, which that's just her. that this was not how it was supposed to happen. She was supposed to, it was supposed to be Charlotte to tap out, not her to get rolled up and pinned.
Yeah.
That's how it was supposed to be. I mean, even this referee got fined for doing this. So it doesn't make any sense. I mean, I know Becky's supposed to win because she's the man, but how did that happen? I just, all I know is her shoulder was up in the air from all the replays that I've seen.
Okay, I was watching it live, and and I had a young man that I've known since he was, well, basically, you know, a baby since he was born. That I, he was the same young man I took to a wrestling match last September after his birthday, and he came over to watch WrestleMania, and I said at that point, I said her shoulder was up, her shoulder was up. And at that point, I didn't consider the botched ending. I considered, and probably incorrectly from everything I've been reading on the internet, and, you know, you can believe everything that's on the internet, bonjour.
Of course.
I was thinking, well, they're selling controversy. Controversy sells. Controversy gets people to tune in to Monday Night Raw. Now, when Monday Night Raw occurred and Becky came out, there was no mention of her shoulder being up, which it definitely was. So I will buy into the theory that it was botched, but I'm also saying it probably got a lot more people to maybe tune in to Monday Night Raw to see what would happen, because they've done that in the past.
The way that Ronda Rousey, the way she had acted after the match, you could tell that she was mad, and she did. And she must have had somewhat of a concussion, because when she hit the back of her head on the floor, when she was on those ropes, and they were, and they, the, I guess the referee made her let go and she slipped. So, and another word is she broke her hand somehow.
Right. I heard that too.
So, I mean, that's okay. You have a very fine lady in Lacey Evans that's taking care of the man right now. So I wonder if she's related to me.
You wish.
Yeah, I wish. Yes. Wouldn't you like to see that? Like, you and I could be cousins.
Yeah. Lacey Evans, who they've actually had coming out quite a bit over the last couple of weeks, just doing a little spot, turn around, flashing a smile and waving her hand like a beauty queen. She's actually gotten into it with Becky Lynch on Monday Night Raw and SmackDown.
Oh, yeah.
Is she going to be getting the push? Is she going to be the next contestant for the man, Becky Lynch? Is it?
Well, if they decide to merge the titles into one and not have this winner-take-all, you know, both titles, I think they just ought to have one world, one WWE title. I think she'll win Money in the Bank.
Oh,
and then she'll go, yeah, I think she'll win Money in the Bank, and then she'll go after the title that way. And she'll cash in at a pay-per-view when we least expect it, and then here she comes.
So Money in the Bank is coming up on May the 19th. That's going to be in Hartford, Connecticut. But between now and then, on May the 3rd, which is a Friday, is when they're going to have this event that's taking place in Saudi Arabia. They haven't really named that yet, the last time I saw, but there has been rumors that that the Undertaker is signed to be part of that event, and then more rumors that the man named Sting might come out of retirement for that match. Is that something that you'd be interested in seeing, Sting and the Undertaker?
Well, yeah, I would love to see it for the final time. The rumors can finally be put to rest, and we can actually see something we want to see, and that would be a retirement match for The Undertaker. Sting and The Undertaker go at it. Two old geezers with their walkers and no teeth. Yeah, and whoever wins gets a lifetime supply of Fixit-In. So, I mean,
or depends.
That would be a good... Yeah, or depends, yes.
Yeah, you know you're always about them depends. So.
Yeah, amen. But, you know, we did forget one match.
What's that?
At WrestleMania.
What's that?
Because they didn't feel so important. Think about it. We love the man behind the mic, But we can't stand the wrestler.
Oh, I was just thinking about, I was so happy not to have to deal with Brock Lesnar on Monday Night Raw. But let me tell you what happened during the 2 minutes and 30 seconds that the match was going on.
Yeah.
Because Brock was attacked Seth beforehand, and they were fighting. He was just destroying Seth. And I looked at the Jonathan, the young guy that was with me, and I said, why doesn't Seth just go ahead and just hit him one in the Wachowbies? You know, like old Ajay used to say. And then all of a sudden, here comes the Wachowbie shot.
With all my might, I kicked him as hard as I could in his testicles.
And then a couple of curb stomps, and we are done with Brock Lesnar, at least for a little bit.
Well, I thought it was going to be a squash match at first when Brock jumps Seth. I took a step back when Paul Heyman comes out and says, we're catching a flight to Las Vegas where we're appreciated.
Uh-huh.
Wait a minute, Paul. You don't work for the UFC. But on the other hand, if you'll ever notice and go back on YouTube, when Brock Lesnar had his last fight in the UFC, in the background when he's walking to the ring, Paul Heyman was behind him.
Well, I'm sure they're good friends.
But, I mean, can he actually be his advocate, his manager for real?
You know what? If UFC has a brain in their head, and I doubt that they do, excuse me, I don't think UFC is ran very well at all. If they are going to sign Brock Lesnar, they need to bring in Paul Heyman to hype it. He needs to be the hype guy, just like he did for the WWE. It would cause a lot of consternation in the MMA world. They say, "Oh, you're just becoming professional wrestling." Nah, nah, nah. Well, yeah, WWE makes a heck of a lot more money, guys, because they know how to market their product. So, I get really upset at the MMA world. I really do.
Well, Jim Cornette said it best about the UFC, that they are the 80s professional wrestling. They've had the double knockout. They've had the promos. They've got all the hype. They've got people that two people that are actually mad at each other. They're not friends when they leave the ring. No, I thought the match was going to be a squash match between those two, but then when Seth got him in the Wachobies and then curb stomped him three times, he did something that Braun Strowman couldn't do, is take down the Beast. Okay.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Well, okay. Whatever. A match that you were not looking forward to, but it kind of surprised you at how good it was. What was your favorite match of the night?
I was looking forward to seeing Triple H and Batista. That was my favorite, but it turned out to be garbage. But the last match that I really, really enjoyed watching was Bobby Lashley and the Demon King.
That was fun.
But I have one question for Bobby Lashley. Did you become the Hulk when you turned around and you were in those contacts in your eyes? I thought I was going to hear the old theme from the Hulk when I saw his eyes like that. I figured, is he going to start turning green? And, I mean, is Lou Ferrigno fixing to come out from under the ring and here he comes? I mean, his eye. Did you see the contacts?
I sure did. Jonathan was the one first to ask me when Bobby came out. He says, what's wrong with his eyes? Are they like that? I said, oh, the contacts. Really? And he was surprised.
I figured he was going to start breaking out into a theme of Thriller or something like that real quick. I mean, I didn't know whether zombies were going to come behind him or... But it was a good match between the Demon King and Bobby Lashley, and but here's the problem I have with the Demon King. There was no reaction when he came out. Nothing.
Well,
the fans were there. It was dead.
Yeah, it was kind of dead because they didn't do the makeup right this time.
No, he looked like he, I mean, I guess they're under budget or something. We can't use that much yellow. You can't use that much white. We're under budget right now.
The good thing I like, the thing I liked about the Demon King was the way they did the makeup underneath his in his chin area, under in yeah. the in the throat. When he would open it up, looked like a giant mouth. This time it just was teeth. I'm going, well, I got teeth. They're not nearly that big, but I got teeth. But that the times I saw him when they opened it up and there was the giant mouth, I thought that was pretty cool. So
he looked. He was supposed to look like Spawn.
Ew.
Yep, he was. Ew. Supposed, that's where he got it from. He was supposed to look like Spawn, or he's supposed to look like Venom.
Well, yeah.
I think it was. I think it's Venom that he's supposed to look like. Is Venom more like Venom? But no, it was. That's probably one of the best matches, and I'd have to say that one. Triple H was that was a good one. The AJ Styles and Randy Orton, they tore it down too. I mean, yeah. That was a very good match.
Yeah.
Other than that, the rest of it, well, let's get Dave Meltzer going here. All for WWE WrestleMania 35, I give it 6.5 stars.
Out of 10?
Out of 10,
so 6.5. So slightly above average.
Slightly. Mm-hmm.
I thought it was better than last year's, to be honest with you. So I probably, you know, me agreeing with Dave Meltzer again, ooh, man, things are bad. But I'm going to take you back to NXT TakeOver on Saturday night. Velveteen Dream and this Matt Riddle, or as I like to call him, Jeff Spicoli.
Danger is my business.
Bro.
Hey, bud. Let's party.
I hate that character, but the kid can go in the ring. I'll tell you that. He's a lot of fun to watch. That was a fun match, but if you have not seen the best 2 out of 3 with Adam Cole, baby, and Johnny Gargano, that was the match of the entire weekend, NXT, WrestleMania, the best I saw all weekend long. It was incredible. It was so much fun to watch.
Well, you were going for Johnny Gargano. What's his name again?
Johnny Gargano. Johnny Wrestling.
Gargano, okay.
Yeah.
I know that you were wanting him. I was wanting Adam Cole, baby, to win the NXT championship. But it was good to see Tommaso Ciampa to come out there and present the belt and hold it up. And everybody was kind of worried that this was all a work. But, I mean, you saw the neck brace around, and he's already gotten word that if he doesn't slow down, he's not going to be able to do professional wrestling much longer.
Oh.
So, I mean, it was bound to happen. I mean, the man went through all kinds of stuff through Ring of Honor. Now that he's with the WWE, he's done a lot of things with the WWE. I mean, but I really wanted to see him go to the main roster, but that's up in the air right now.
Yeah, he's going to be out at least a year, and I feel bad for that because I was a big Tommaso Ciampa fan when he was in Ring of Honor. I think you were too. But to that I was pulling for Johnny Gargano, I'm not so sure about that, Chris, because I was wearing all day Friday my Adam Cole baby shirt,
I
was being interviewed on the radio stations inside the radio group that Friday afternoon. I was wearing my Adam Cole baby shirt. I am a huge fan of Adam Cole, and I think he might be one of those that's going to be called up to the main roster soon.
I hope he does, because, I mean, he's a heck of a wrestler, and I think he would be good on SmackDown, and I believe that one day we could see the world title on him. But that's another story for another day. And I know you saw the Hall of Fame and what really got taken over on the Hall of Fame.
Oh, man, it was a scary situation. You got to admit that.
Yes.
When Bret Hart was attacked by, I don't even want to call him a fan. I want to call him an idiot.
So yeah,
let's not call him a fan. Let's call him what it is. Excuse me, he's an ass.
Basically, yes. And one of the Revival knocked him out.
Right, isn't that cool?
One of the Revival hit him so hard, probably knocked him in the next week. But I just gotta say this, that where in the HE double toothpicks was the security when this happened? Where were they?
It was really lacking, wasn't it?
I don't get it. You mean to tell me that all these people that you have, and all the security at this event, and this happens, if I was Bret Hart, I would look at Vince McMahon and say, if I've got one broken bone or if I've got a joint or a hip out of place, your butt belongs to me. Yeah, but then 60 wrestlers pile on top of this man, and oh my Lord, it was bad.
They beat him pretty bad, and Ronda Rousey's husband, who is an MMA fighter, also got in a few licks, as did Davey Boy Smith's son.
For, I think Ronda Rousey's husband was the first one to get a hold of him.
I think so too, yeah.
All I can say is congratulations to the Hall of Fame, but what DX did to Billy Gunn was absolutely hilarious.
Uh-huh.
I loved it when he said, Vince can't fire me, and then Triple H walks over and goes, look, he'll buy that pissant company and fire you again.
So many people made more out of that than what it really was. That's another way of Triple H shouting out to his friends.
Yes.
That's what he was saying. Hey, good luck, guys. That's the way he shouted out to them to let people know that there's another company out there and good luck. That I firmly believe that was his way of telling them good luck.
I think it was. I mean, and then Shawn Michaels saying, well, thanks for being here and being all in. So, but yeah, it was fun to do, but it was about time that China went in.
Yeah, it was.
It was about time that they had the Hart Foundation, Bruiser Brody, all these guys. And then, but there's just still one person that's missing from the Hall of Fame. Hopefully next year if they can convince this one lady to put him in, he needs to be in so badly.
Don't think it'll happen, man.
I really don't either. There's two people.
Okay.
There's actually two. There's Chris Benoit.
Yeah, that won't happen either.
And then there's Owen Hart. And Davey Boy.
Yeah, but with Owen Hart and his wife, there's a lot of bad blood there between her and Vince McMahon and the WWE.
Oh, big time.
The only way I can think that it will ever happen is if Bret steps in and Vince says, you know what, we are sorry. Let's donate a lot of money to your favorite charity. Set up a foundation for Owen Hart, whether it's in wrestling or if it's a college scholarship, because Owen was a very bright young man when he passed away. I think that's the only way you'll see. If it does happen, I think that's probably the way it will happen. I hope they do something to get Owen Hart in there, because not only because he was killed in that line, but he deserved it. I mean, he was one great performer.
Yes, he was. And, I mean, if there's anybody that needs to be in there, Owen does. And there's a couple of other of professional wrestlers that need to be in the Hall of Fame that you and I like the Fantastics and Superstar Bill Dundee. He needs to be in there. The Midnight Express, they need to be in there. There's a lot of people that need to be in the Hall of Fame.
Right, and we're going to be doing that. We're going to do that as a podcast in a couple of weeks. And we would ask some of our Facebook friends, I think, before we start recording that. We'll go a couple of weeks and we'll ask who you think should be into the WWE or a Wrestling Hall of Fame, and we'll come up with a list of people that we think should be, and we'll discuss it on a future edition of Turnbuckle Trash.
Yes, we need to do that. It'd be a great thing to do, but WrestleMania was here nor there, and it was good at first, but then it was so long. Let's cut these matches down to, you know, where they only had like seven, not 17.
I think it was Andrew Solwell on our Facebook page that says, couldn't they just spread it out over two nights? Make NXT take over part of it and then do the, you know, the part two on Sunday. Seven and a half hours. I was so exhausted. And I didn't watch the entire kickoff show. I've just watched parts of it because I knew starting at 5 p.m. that I would be going until after 10 p.m. watching professional wrestling. And I love pro wrestling. I love to watch it, but it just goes too dang long. And And I think next year I'm going to have to make it into a two-day affair like I've done in the past. Watch a little bit on Sunday night, watch the rest of it on Monday afternoon, because I have to work for a living.
Mm-hmm.
And Monday, I was wasted.
So I
felt hungover, and I don't even drink. And you know I don't drink, so.
Well, after the Batista and Triple H match, I'm glad I had a beer or two because I needed it after watching that. So, yeah, I was that would make any man's unsober very quickly. But other than that, I mean, WrestleMania was okay. I gave it my rating. I hope Zane gives it his, and maybe we can meet in the middle. But he was upset with The Undertaker and Elias.
On Monday Night Raw, yeah.
On Monday Night Raw, he was upset with that. But didn't we all know that as soon as he said, anybody that interrupts me is a dead man?
Oh, yeah. I said, oh, that's just too easy, man.
That's just way too freaking easy. But no, wait, we did forget something. The Doctor of Thugonomics came back.
Who called this one, baby? Who
you called it?
I called
you
it.
You called it. You called it.
I am the man because I said John Cena would interrupt Elias in his musical performance. I didn't think it was going to be the Doctor of Thugonomics, but I liked it.
I did too. Because and then there was a thing going on Facebook, and it said, "Dad, who's that?" And as the sun turns and there's a tear going, he said, "The doctor's back, son. The doctor is back." And no, he's not back. He just did it for this one time. Mm-hmm. But it didn't look like the Doctor of Thugonomics. It looked like Mark Wahlberg had just taken Cena's place. But no, I was happy to see Cena there. But I was hoping that it would have been The Undertaker in WrestleMania 35 instead of John Cena.
Yeah.
So, but other than that, but it got the crowd a big pop when they started hearing that music. They thought, oh boy, heel turn, finally.
Yeah, that's, and John even made comment about the heel turn. He made comment about that. So coming up, once again, in our pay-per-views, we've got the event on May the 3rd. That's a Friday, by the way, in Saudi Arabia. And then Money in the Bank is going to be on the 19th. And I'm going to tell you this right now. On May the 4th, which is a Saturday, I am traveling to Salt Lake City to go to Devotion Championship Wrestling. Zane is going to meet me there because we live on opposite ends of the state, to be honest with you. And we're going to meet there and go see Devotion Championship Wrestling. We're going to see Manny Lemons. And who's going to be there? Cheeseburger.
Oh, great.
Yeah, and I don't even like cheese.
Well, you know, for a gimmick, he's really taken off in Ring of Honor.
Yeah, he has. Good stuff.
He does, and he deserves it. He's paid his dues, so.
And
he has paid his dues.
One more quick thing, Impact Wrestling with their event against Lucha Underground. Our friend Marty the Moth did very well on that. There was a lot of different events that took place in New York City. And the return of Enzo Amore and Big Cass, evidently they're going to Ring of Honor. They attacked Bully Ray and the tag team division at the Supercard of Honor on Saturday night. So that was big news over the weekend, too.
Well, also, everybody get ready for Vice City, if you can find that on TV. I'll send it to you on Messenger. They're going to be doing the gangster version, well, all about the mob and their ties in with wrestling. And they've got Bruiser Brody in there. They got Sting in there. They've got all types of people talking about how wrestling evolved and how wrestling got involved with the mob and betting and money and murder. Okay. Watch that. And it's got everybody that you can think of is going to talk about professional wrestling. You've got Jimmy Hart. You've got you got Jim Cornette, you got all kinds of people there, but it's going to be an interesting TV show to watch.
Yeah, anytime that you talk to some of these smaller channels, they repeat it and repeat it and repeat it and repeat it.
Oh, yeah, they will.
And repeat it. But if you really want, and you will agree with me on this, if you want to see the history of professional wrestling, let's give a shout out to our friends at Memphis Heat, one of the best documentaries I've ever seen about professional wrestling. They address some of that information. They address Sputnik McRoll and his role in reversing discrimination in professional wrestling, and how Sputnik really helped blur the racial integration that was taking place in the Deep South back in the late 50s and 60s. If you get a chance to watch Memphis Heat, a big shout out to those guys. A great job on a great documentary about pro wrestling.
And if you want to see some things about indie wrestling and what goes on behind the scenes in indie wrestling, go on YouTube, type it up. I have listened to a lot of, I saw a lot of backstage with indie wrestling. It's really amazing what these guys go through and how much they get paid to do this.
Or lack thereof.
Yes. And on one of them, I saw some former WWE, TNA wrestlers in the indies.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't even know they were there until I watched. I said, well, I know who that is. That's Luke Gallows. So, yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting to see it.
Yeah, so you might want to check that out. And plus, one other thing, if you want to check out independent wrestling, if you have a smartphone, go get the Fight TV app. Lots of independent stuff on there, too.
Well, it was fun, and we talked about WrestleMania. I hope everybody that watched it had a great time. I'm going to go drink some more Pepto-Bismol. So,
I'm going to get some headache medication. Hey, thanks a lot for joining us.
No problem. I enjoyed every minute of it.
Always fun to talk to Chris. Chris on the mat. Chris Evans talking about WrestleMania. Up next, we'll finish our discussion about controversies in professional wrestling, including racism. A hard discussion, but it's something that needs to be taken care of every once in a while. Plus, not only that, we'll have some news and information. It's all coming up in another edition of Turnbuckle Trash.
I don't know karate, but I know crazy.
Yes, we do.
Get ready for the big paper.
It's time to take out the trash.
You think of men with menacing, icy stares that could freeze their opponents cold. Brutes who beat their foes into submission.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
So, Dave, yesterday, we were doing a live session, and I was talking to you about, we were discussing racism in the WWE. You know, some people think that the WWE is racist, and some people think that things that go on there, you know, that Vince is a big racist, but I kind of a little bit disagree with that. And why I'm talking about this is because I saw some mainstream media stuff before WrestleMania was talking about how the WWE is trying to right all their wrongs by making Kofi the WWE champion. And I disagree with that because Kofi is talented and he's good. And I'm eating French fries. So if I tend to, it sounds like I'm eating, then that's because I am. But Dave, what are your opinions on the mainstream media on this sensitive topic that is so difficult to discuss in the society today?
Well, first off, if you're eating French fries talking Kofi Kingston, you need to drop those, go get some pancakes. Mm. Right. Okay. But that subject is very sensitive for a lot of people, but it's also, my opinion only, it is used to advance an agenda. I'm not going to say what that agenda is, but it could be a lot of different agendas. And one of those agendas is the mainstream media wants to tear down the WWE as much as possible. It's not anything, but Vince has been very successful. His wife is in the Trump administration, although I hear she's getting ready to resign. And Vince is he's a good friend of President Trump.
So this isn't the first time that professional wrestling is. It's almost like professional wrestling is like, you know, the mainstream media is like when they're out of stuff or when they're confused for a little while, they shuffle the deck and they're like, oh, hey, you know, we haven't, it's been a few years since we've covered anything in professional wrestling. Boom, boom, and then they explode this big story. Like, mm-hmm. for example, you go clear back to the steroid scandal.
Yeah.
You know, and then we go back to, you know, with Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit and things like this that are completely one-off subjects, and now all of a sudden racism in the WWE is in the news. Why are only these topics? Why does the WWE and professional wrestling not get any headlines when, say, John Cena becomes the 16th world champion? Mm-hmm. You know, you and I, you know, we're waiting for him to break Ric Flair's record.
Right.
And it's going to happen before Cena fully retires. I don't know. I think it would. Would you think it would?
Yeah, I think it might. Cena, you know, he's really into this acting gig right now. So, as a matter of fact, getting off subject slightly, announced yesterday John Cena's in negotiations to be in the second Suicide Squad movie. I just think when you're talking the mainstream media, and I'm talking as someone who's done news myself, you are taught to look for the negative. You're not taught in journalism schools to report on positive, because negativity sells papers. Controversy sells papers. Now, I know newspapers are going out, but controversy means more people checking in with the news. That is the way journalism is taught in our universities, and I know that because I've been there.
Interesting. I think we've done a really good job of discussing this topic, and you know, I think we could go on and on for
let me just say one thing.
Go ahead.
Our opinions are our opinions, but it doesn't mean that racism has not existed in the past. And it doesn't mean it doesn't exist today, but it is not to the extent of what the mainstream media is reporting. I do not believe that. I believe that it could exist and probably does exist, but not in a major way.
Well, and even on this podcast, you recall going back to when shortly after I first started, mm-hmm. and we were having a great time in the Hulk Hogan racist thing again.
Yeah.
We don't focus on Hogan's positive things that he's done in life, the money that he's donated to charities, the foundations and the things that Hogan has done, the Make-A-Wish things. And it's like we all of a sudden we zone in on this one thing, and I had shared an opinion on that.
Right.
And I got completely destroyed on social media, and almost to the point where I was like, my gosh, is this how the podcast is going to be?
Yeah.
And I'm glad that you know, you being in this business, you know, you've taught me and you've told me that, you know, you can't please everyone.
No, you can't.
You've told me, and you shared several stories with me on people getting upset and calling into your boss at the radio for things that you thought were funny that they didn't think were funny. And,
right.
And it was kind of an eye-opening experience to me, because I thought, I didn't think that I was being disrespectful, but in the same sense, I still don't think I was being disrespectful towards anybody, but it was sharing an opinion.
Right. And that's the one, you know, we talked about this on social media. That's the one problem with what's going on in social media. People have so many opinions, and if you do not agree with them, they get behind that keyboard and they lose all manner of respect.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They, you know, they say horrible things about you. They make accusations. And I will not do that anymore. I'm not going to play that game. Yeah. I will express my opinion and say, you know what? If you don't agree with me, that's fine. I respect your opinion. Please respect mine. We don't have to agree, but we can still be civil. We can still be friends. And you and I do not agree on everything, you know, and we're still the best of friends.
Yes. So I want to talk about something real quick that just popped up that is kind of on this same subject. Not necessarily the racist subject, but on the WWE and the controversy section. I follow a former WWE superstar Ryback on Instagram.
Feed me more.
And Ryback does a podcast. I don't know if he does a weekly or biweekly, and it's called the Feed Me More or Conversations with the Big Guy is what it's called.
Okay.
So Ryback just released yesterday, did a 2-hour podcast on the John Oliver stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
And Ryback wrote a big thing on Facebook and talked about how he says that he still is bitter and still is salty towards the WWE, and he challenged all WWE fans to boycott Snickers and Cricket and some of these sponsors of the WWE for their mistreatment of superstars. And so we covered this a little bit on the last pod, but it still seems to keep lingering as to the mistreatment of WWE superstars. And my opinion is, and again, like Dave said yesterday, the opinions shared on this program may not be that of the most intelligent people, okay?
But we're both good looking.
Well, you're not bad.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know about myself. Right. What I don't understand is why some people like, and I don't know, you don't, is your crystal ball there? Or
it is ready to go, my man.
So how come we see some people like, say, Stone Cold? Okay, Stone Cold's not really, doesn't have a ton to do with the WWE anymore. But you always hear him talk very highly of the WWE. But yet you get guys like CM Punk and Ryback and some of these other guys that, you know, that just absolutely hate Vince McMahon and hate the WWE for all its worth. So I wonder who is to be at fault here.
Let me get into my crystal ball here. And this is going to be deep, okay?
Okay.
This is going to be a deep thoughts with Dave Denton.
Now, wait, is this deep thoughts from the man's throne? You're not on the throne, aren't you?
No, but I recently was. Hallelujah. No, this is, and I firmly believe this, and I'll probably try to come up with the reason why. You look at what happened with CM Punk. You look at what happened with Ryback. You look at Stone Cold. And you look at someone like The Big Show, who's come out saying John Oliver has gotten it all wrong. Big Show says it's all wrong. Here is the way that this is all happening. And I want everyone to remember this. There are two sides to every story. No matter what, two sides to every story. And all we got to do is look at our personal lives with women, with our spouses. If you've ever been divorced, you can hear one person say all these nasty things about the other, and then the other person saying nasty things about it, and you know both of them. And, you know, some of them are probably true on both sides, but there are two sides to every story. And that's what's going on. But the people, and I go back to the mainstream media again, they are taught to use controversy to get people to follow them. They are taught to get people to get onto the newscast. If they've got a negative story about anybody, that's what's getting on first. The good news stories are very rarely given the light of day on the mainstream media. Let's just call them the mainstream media. And we don't want to say that they don't do good news stories, but they more concentrate on the controversies and the bad news stories. Two sides to every story, and we all need to remember that.
Boy, that was deep.
That was deep, wasn't it?
So let's move on to something a little more enlightening.
Okay.
A little more happy.
Happy, happy, happy.
So, I guess, what would you say we're on like the road to SummerSlam now? Or, I mean, how come we only go to the road to WrestleMania? Why can't we have, like, the road to WWE Roadblock, or the road to Fastlane, or the road to... How come WrestleMania is the only one that gets a road?
That is a good subject. Maybe they don't have enough construction crews.
I guess, I don't know.
I've never thought of it that way, man.
So here we are. We're on the trail. We'll just call it the trail. happy trail. Trails, we're on the trail to SummerSlam, right? Right. Hiking trail. We had the Raw after WrestleMania, which was honestly kind of lackluster.
Right.
Not a lot of big surprises. And the SmackDown was okay. The Superstar Shakeup.
Welcome to the Superstar Shakeup.
Welcome to the
hope that somebody like Elias gets a little bit better, a little bit more time on SmackDown and some stuff like that. I hope that that happens. It's nice to see Roman not the face of Raw.
Right.
So, tell me what you think about the Triple S Superstar Shakeup.
Well, I was really happy to see some of the people being moved. Now, Buddy Murphy, who lost the Cruiserweight Champion to WrestleMania, he's moving to SmackDown Live. This guy is good. He should make a real impact into SmackDown. I was kind of disappointed they broke up the Riot Squad. Liv Morgan is moving, and Chad Gable has moved over, so you're not going to have Bobby Roode and Chad Gable as a tag team anymore, but they really never gelled, I didn't think so, that much.
Oh, that's kind of a stupid tag team.
Yeah, that was kind of a stupid tag team. Finn Balor moving is a good move for SmackDown. And then I want you to think about this, okay? Let's put things, I always talk about perspective. That's one of my big things. I even do a radio bit called Dave's Perspective. It's a matter of perspective. What are they setting up right now with Roman Reigns and Finn Balor going to SmackDown? Think about what's coming up in the future. This year. Can I give you a hint?
Yeah, I guess.
Fox.
What?
Fox. SmackDown is moving to Fox Sports 1.
Oh.
So,
I never thought of
they
that.
Wanted to get a couple of really big names onto SmackDown. And that's, I look at these things and I try to put things in perspective instead of trying to, get this knee-jerk reaction. I want to look at things and say, why were they possibly doing this? And sometimes I don't understand. I'll just put out there, hey, I don't understand why they broke up the Riot Squad. I thought the Riot Squad was a great little faction for women. But when Fox Sports 1 in the fall takes over SmackDown, they need stars. And you got to admit, Roman's a star.
Yeah, and let's be honest, too, money talks, baby.
That's
Fox,
right.
Fox is paying a shiz ton of money for the WWE product. And so if they're going to buy a product, they don't want a product that's half-baked. They don't want a product that's going to fail.
Well, you got to admit, most of the really big names were on the Raw roster. SmackDown had some good people. Now AJ Styles has moved over to Raw, which I think is a great move for them. But and The Miz too.
It gives us an opportunity to see a little bit of different perspectives on feuds too.
Yeah, I think it'll be fun. And the Usos moving over to Raw, that was fun too.
Yeah, the Hardy Boys, they're back in action.
Yeah,
looking good too. And
so a lot of times when we see these things, we question creative. I prefer to question creative on individual things instead of these long-term projects. Roman Reigns moving to SmackDown made total sense. There's other people
absolutely.
Will agree with me. Finn Balor moving over. I hope they can talk the Good Brothers into staying and get the Balor Club going again with the Good Brothers and make that a little bit of a faction, whether they're heels or babyfaces. I don't care. I like them together. They work well together as a team.
Well, and if you ever watch some of those, the stuff they do on, the stuff they do on the network with where I don't know what it's called, like the, where they're on the road and they drive in the cars together.
Oh, yeah, Ride Along.
Yeah, and Gallows and Anderson, they and Balor and stuff, they all ride together. Uh-huh. And it is so funny. They just totally dog AJ Styles all the time. and they totally just, they make fun of just everybody. It looks like they're having a pretty good time.
Right, they're funny guys.
And I would imagine that given the chance to let them have a little bit of their own creative strings, if they're going to be baby faces, that could be pretty funny stuff.
Right. So I think it would be fun. I mean, when you think of funny as in factions, look at all the funny stuff DX did. Some of their stuff was absolutely hilarious. Yeah. Even though it was a little dirty at times, I mean, but it was really funny. And I think they could do that with the Balor Club.
I agree.
Yeah.
They could do some other stuff. But looking good, though, for the Superstar Shakeup. We're glad to see some of these moves. What do you think as far as people like that we may not see very much of, like Ronda, Brock, Cena, some of these people that may move on?
Well, I'm not sure if Ronda Rousey is going to come back in a while. She's been tweeting out that she possibly broke her hand. I haven't been confirmed on that one myself. But she's also talking about taking an impregnation vacation. She wants to have a child. So I don't know whether she's going to try to do that right away or if she's, whether she wants to come back. I mean, 1 year, she made a huge impact on the WWE. In 1 year, that I got to hand it to her. I'm not a huge fan of hers by any means, but I'll give her all the props in the world. She made a big difference in the women's movement in the WWE, and
oh, absolutely.
I'm happy for her.
And she's a big name.
Yeah, she is.
She probably sold a lot of tickets and a lot of merch. I mean, I guess like we've talked about before, there's a reason why these little promotions sometimes will cough up the money to bring in one big name, because that could make or break their promotion for a year.
Right.
And so... But yeah, there's some good stuff going on right now. We see Becky Lynch and an interesting feud there with Lacey Evans, which
that's
I'm
be
really
fun.
Glad to see.
Yeah, that's gonna
you know
be
that
fun.
Lacey Evans, she's got quite a background. I had no idea. She's a former Marine.
Uh-huh.
And she served 4 years in the Marine Corps.
Yeah. As an MP.
Yeah. Yeah, she's got a. I couldn't. I started reading up on her, and I was like, holy crap, this chick is well decorated. She's got quite the background.
Yeah, she had to deal with drunk Marines. That's not easy.
Yeah, it was. That's awesome.
Yeah,
I don't know if her gimmick has got me sold, but her as an individual has got me sold that she could give the man a run for her money.
I'm hoping so. I'm hoping it's a good feud. I think it will be because of that women's right, that punch she does. Is devastating the way they sell it, and I think that will make or break the entire feud that they're going to be having coming up. And I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah, it very interesting to see. I would have thought that somebody like Becky Lynch would have been feuding with somebody like Ruby Riott or somebody a little more on that edgy level. But Miss Priss comes out and clocks her right in the jaw. I thought that was very well sold and very well told as well.
Yeah.